A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' I see how stiff-necked this people is," continued the Lord to Moses. "Let me alone them, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord, his God, saying, Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage.'" So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy in appointing me to the ministry. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance in my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these, I am the foremost. But for that reason, I was mercifully treated, so that in me as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. To the King of ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord.
We heard these words as the first reading was proclaimed this morning. The Lord said to Moses, "The Israelites have made for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it." Image. I've been making it a goal of mine until I can't travel anymore to see as many of the U.S. national parks. I've seen a few already, but there are so many more I want to see. Will I accomplish my goal? Because I think there are 66 of them. Probably not. And I already know one that I'm not going to go to is the one in Hawaii. There might even be two there, but one for sure. The few that I have seen thus far, two of them really stand out in my mind. The number one place I love to go is Glacier Park. I have fallen in love with that park, and it's just magnificent. But another one that really surprised me, and I like a great deal, and I've only seen it once, are the Tetons. My father had told me when he was alive that when he went out there hunting, he went to the Tetons to see for himself, and he told me about them, but I could only come up with an image. Other people have told me they had seen them as well, and again, that kind of created the image that I was kind of projecting of what they looked like. So when I was there with two other priests and we were on vacation, we were working our way up from Jackson Hole, and I was driving, and we were driving for a ways, and I said, well, we should see them pretty soon. Then all of a sudden, there they are. They just kind of like pop out of nowhere. My image of them was certainly pale in comparison and did not justify the magnificence of the Tetons. And how often does that happen to us, that we have a picture in our mind of something, or maybe even somebody, we're trying to picture it in your mind, and it does not do justice? And what we heard in our first reading today, the Israelites had done the same thing. They had pictured in their minds what God looked like, and had fashioned a calf out of gold. In our situation today in the Exodus, Moses had climbed the mountain to encounter God, to enter that covenant relationship with him and receive the Ten Commandments. Moses was not coming back right away, so that was where they got the idea, let's make a calf. Now, why would they choose a calf is beyond what I would understand. God only knows. But perhaps they had seen in other civilizations in which they had made a calf to worship. Certainly the calf would represent strength. But they did a terrible injustice to God, broke the first commandment right off the bat. Here they had worshiped and were worshiping something other than God himself. They encountered God and knew of God only by signs that would tell of his presence, such as the flaming bush that never consumed, the cloud, the light at night. These were to say that God was indeed present, but God was not found in these things. And so they decided to fashion and make a calf to worship. And we heard what it did, because God to become very angry to the point that he wanted to exterminate them. They had broken their covenant relationship with them. They knew God was mighty and powerful and creator. But now they would come to experience God as merciful. It was Moses who intervened and said, why would you want to destroy your people? Yes, indeed, they have sinned and sinned terribly. But show your mercy and your kindness. And as we heard, God did not destroy them, but would continue to lead them through the desert to the promised land. And what we heard it also, too, in the two parables in our gospel passage for today, we heard how God extends and goes beyond to seek out those who are lost and rejoice when they return. He does so because of his mercy and kindness. I think of the last two Sundays, our first readings, which tells us even more of the Lord our God, so that we can have a better picture of who God is. 2 weeks ago, we heard in the book of Sirach, in which the author Sirach said, we need to be humble before God. God, who made Adam, took the soil from the earth, the humus, and formed him in his image and likeness. What the Israelites had done, they had made God into an image of a calf. They were going to project who they thought God was. They failed to realize in humility that God had made them. And last Sunday, we heard the author attributed to Solomon to seek the higher gifts, that of counsel and advice. God's counsel and his advice he gives to us, and we seek it to help us to be the proper people here on earth, growing up to be people of God? What is our image of God? How do we picture him? We too should also see him as spirit, and one we cannot fully put a picture, because no picture would ever justify who God is. But we know that God indeed is present. And like the Israelites, we know that he is all-powerful, almighty, creator, but also let us add that he is merciful. Sinners that we are, we know that God is indeed kind and merciful. May we always hold that dear to us. For when we feel we have strayed too far from God's love and can never return, God rejoices when we come back to him. He is indeed powerful. He is indeed mighty. He is indeed our creator. But God indeed, in our image, he is the one that's all merciful.